welcome to episode 55 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Robin. We are also joined once again by my sister, Linda. 2 weeks in a row. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We mentioned last week that Linda currently lives in San Francisco. Apart from a three-year stint in Hong Kong, Linda has been a resident of San Francisco since the summer of 2000. She has truly come to love the city, and we asked her to talk to us once more about it tonight. What better way to learn the heartbeat of a city than to speak to people who live and work there every day? So let's get started. So Linda, let's start with the basics. What took you to San Francisco? That's not where you were born and raised. So what lured you out west to San Francisco?
Well, I was going to start working in technology, and some friends had advised that I take a look at San Francisco. And so as I was interviewing for jobs, I was trying out a lot of different cities. And as soon as I rounded the corner on 101 coming up from the airport and saw the skyline of the city, frankly, I fell in love. It's the perfect mix of the feel of a big city, but also the feel of a small town. It's got all the things you want in a big city, but with a population of less than a million in the city proper. So you get to know people and you have neighbors, but you also just have great opportunities that you might have in much larger cities.
So we talk about the Bay Area. Can you tell us a little bit about what does that encompass? If one's visiting the Bay Area, what does that really mean to people who live in the Bay Area?
You know, people define the Bay Area different ways, and it's funny because you'll often hear people say they're from San Francisco when they're actually from, you know, Oakland or somewhere else around San Francisco. But the Bay Area has kind of grown quite a bit. It really kind of, the easiest way to think of it is anything that sort of touches the water that surrounds San Francisco, but quite a bit sort of south of that as well. So north of the city, Marin, Sausalito, east, Oakland, and some of the areas out in the East Bay, as we call it. And then a lot of the stuff in what's traditionally known as Silicon Valley, all the way down to San Jose, is really pretty much the Bay Area.
Oh, wow. So tourist-wise, you know, is there a reason to venture outside of San Francisco proper? You know, obviously, there's always a reason to visit somewhere. I don't mean to sound...
I'm like, what?
Yeah, what? There's no reason to come out here. But is that, you know, is that something when you're planning a trip to San Francisco, you should be looking around San Francisco as well? Or is focusing on San Francisco generally what people would do?
You know, it's definitely worth getting out of the city, because one of the things we're really lucky here about is within 15, 20 minutes, you can be in some of the most beautiful nature that you can find. So in addition to all there is to see in San Francisco, you've got the Redwoods just north of the city. You've got great hiking on Mount Diablo and Mount Tam. You've got great trails along the ocean where you can do hikes that are overlooking, you know, overlooking the ocean. But then also some of the smaller towns are really beautiful as well. I mean, Palo Alto is a world-class city, and there's a lot going on in Oakland, a new art scene and everything emerging over there, and a lot of what we call makers, you know, people who are really inventing new and interesting things. So it's definitely worth getting out of the city. It's just always a little tough to try to figure out what to narrow it down to, because you can even go as far south as Monterey and see the Bay Aquarium, which is just gorgeous. So there's lots and lots of reasons to get outside of the city. There's also lots of reasons that you're going to want to stay in it.
Yeah, see, I've never been, and I definitely want to do like Alcatraz and the, you know, Fisherman's Wharf, the kind of, I mean, the stuff everyone thinks about.
Stuff.
Yeah, the touristy stuff, exactly. I mean, you got to do that stuff, you know, if you're going, but I guess I'd have to go more than once.
You know, you definitely, you want to do the touristy stuff, but it's sort of funny because no one in San Francisco ever goes there. only when friends are in town do we actually do the touristy stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you definitely want to see it. You want to ride a cable car. You want to see the sea lions. You want to see all of that stuff. Definitely Alcatraz is worth it, although you must absolutely do the audio tour when you do Alcatraz because it gives you so much more color.
I've heard that,
yeah. Yeah, it's really fantastic. So you want to do that. You definitely want to do the touristy stuff. But there's also a lot of stuff that you can do in the neighborhoods where people actually live and work. And you can see really interesting things there, too. So it's good to do both.
Let me ask you, have you ever done or have you been in town when they've had the Nike Women's Marathon?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot of different races here. So there's mm-hmm. the marathon. There's actually a couple of different marathons. There's also some interesting cycling races. And trust me, watching cyclists go up and down these hills repeatedly.
I wonder about that.
An adventure.
That marathon course, I wonder how hilly it is, because at the end, you don't get a medal. You get Tiffany box. And it's like the firemen in tuxedos are giving you your Tiffany box with your necklace that's not a mess. Yeah, so that's like a bucket list race for me. I would love to do that.
You know, it's a great race. And yeah, there are some hills involved, but we also have, as you can imagine, a deep history and respect for firemen between the 1906 earthquake, where really it wasn't the earthquake, it was the fire that destroyed a lot of the city. And so the history of firemen, you know, really is very, very important in San Francisco. So, of course, they should be presenting you with your Tiffany box at the end of
those. Makes total sense.
It has nothing to do with surface looks or anything like that. It's all about heroism.
Linda, if somebody has, let's say, three top places to go and they only have a short time, what should they see?
Well, definitely, if you could walk the Golden Gate Bridge, it's one of the most amazing experiences. But be warned, everyone thinks that California is warm and sunny. And San Francisco can be warm and sunny, but most of the time it's actually cold and a little chilly because of where we are situated around the bay. It's a pretty unique weather pattern. And particularly walking across the bridge is going to be pretty cold and chilly as well. So you need to prepare for that and bring layers. But it's a little more than a 2-mile walk across the bridge. But you can see gorgeous views of Alcatraz. You can see the Marin Headlands. And, you know, I've been here for almost 15 years, and it still takes my breath away every time I cross the bridge. It is just a beautiful wonder. So that's probably number one. Number two, as far as I'm concerned, would be the farmer's market at the Ferry Plaza building. So San Francisco and the whole Bay Area is really, really known for great produce and great food. Really artisan kind of high quality meats and produce. And you can see it all on display at the Ferry Building. It's kind of, I call it the temple to great eating. So it's definitely worth a visit. That's on Saturday mornings, and it happens, there's a smaller version throughout the week, but it's a beautiful view of the water and really, really a great way to experience the food culture that is San Francisco. My third favorite is a little different from what a lot of people will do. It's a touristy one, but not as much of the central theme as say, you know, Pier 39 or one of those. But I really like doing North Beach and going up to Coit Tower. So North Beach is one of the oldest neighborhoods in San Francisco. It's an Italian neighborhood. There's phenomenal food there. Great, like, walks that you can take around. A lot of history between the churches and everything else. And you can walk up to Coit Tower, which is actually the monument built towards those very same firemen we were talking about. It affords a gorgeous view of the city and of Oakland and both bridges. It's one of the best spots to look around in the city, and I think it's just one of the coolest places to stand and visit.
Excellent. Thank you.
So then do you have your, like, little off-the-beaten-path, like, you've got a friend coming in, you're like, this is what we're going to do in San Francisco. This is, like, the wacky thing or the thing that nobody else gets to do. Do you have that sort of go-to idea?
Yeah, it depends on your friend's tolerance for interesting things. So I think that a couple of things. It is also still a little touristy, but the De Young Museum and the Academy of Sciences, which is a little bit off the beaten path in Golden Gate Park, is a great thing to do with friends, because I think those two museums have some really unique collections and aspects to them. We have an albino alligator in the California Academy of Sciences, and we have warm weather penguins, and they always have special displays. We have a whole butterfly dome where you can go in and you can sort of really view kind of a beautiful recreation of a rainforest, and that I love. Plus, it's right next to the Japanese Tea Garden in Golden Gate, and the Japanese Tea Garden is one of the best values. For very little money, you can do a full Japanese tea service in one of the most beautiful Japanese gardens outside of Asia, and it's kind of a hidden treasure.
That's more
mainstream. Yeah. Yeah. If you've got friends that are a little bit more adventurous, I love going to the Mission. There's lots of street art galleries where you can see graffiti art. There's a whole alleyway where you can see that, where sort of a lot of different graffiti artists have taken over the whole alleyway, and you can see some really cool stuff there. Have some amazing burritos that nothing like you'll have anywhere else. And
Anthony Bourdain even said so.
Yeah, there's some hip and cool cocktail bars down there, along with some higher end restaurants too. So it's kind of, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got a lot more character and edge to it, but it's a great place to take friends who are looking for a bit more of the authentic side of San Francisco.
That's called the Mission?
Yes, the Mission.
Okay.
It's named after a church that's there, right?
Is that, yeah, Mission Dolores is right there. So that's how it got its name.
So I know you were talking about Oakland. When I think of Oakland, I think of football. So is there more to Oakland than these people who dress up in all black and, you know, paint their faces?
Well, if you're a football, if you're a sports fan at all, we certainly have lots of things here, and we like to create our own rivalries just to make sure we can keep it local. So, you know, you have the San Francisco 49ers that recently moved to Santa Clara. So their stadium is a brand new stadium down there. And then the Oakland Raiders. And of course, that's a rivalry.
Right.
And then you've got the Giants and the A's, which is another, that's the baseball rivalry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have our Golden State Warriors who are champions from the NBA side. So you've got a lot of really good sort of sports things to do there, but there is definitely nothing like going to a Raiders game. I just don't advise doing it wearing an alternate team's.
Yeah. That's what I hear. I hear they're kind of rough. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, they get a little rowdy, but, yeah. But you know, if you're in the right gear and you're not throwing things,
blend in, smile and wave, boys, smile and wave.
I'm a Steelers fan, so I would not be able to wear the correct gear.
Yeah, that would be bad.
The Bay Area also has some excellent roller derby. We would be remiss if we didn't mention that. I know that.
Talking about a hidden gem, not only do we have roller derby, we have something called the Church of Eight Wheels. So it's an old church that's been converted into a roller disco.
Really?
And it is a lot of fun. And it is something, if you want to do something with your family that's very different, it's really, really great. It's the same people who do the roller rink at Burning Man. This is their location here in San Francisco, and it is a lot of fun. You can do costumes. They play great music. They have lessons. Kids can come. Like, it's all ages. It's a lot of fun.
See, now when you say Burning Man, that would automatically make me think, don't bring my kids.
Well, understandable, but you probably don't want to take your kids to Burning Man, but you can take your kids to the Church of Eight Wheels.
Okay, that's cool.
It's the family-friendly version.
Yeah. So do they have, like, do they have skates there to rent and stuff? Is it like a regular?
They do. Everything right there that you need. So, or you can bring your own skates if you want.
Yeah, that's cool.
So let's talk about character, because I think San Francisco has a ton of stereotypes associated with it. Is that all real? I mean, can you find every stereotype you hear about San Francisco, or is somebody selling the city out a little bit?
You know, you can definitely find every stereotype you can hear about San Francisco. I think what people misunderstand is it's not all one stereotype. So somebody might have in their mind that it's all just a gay community, or it's all just a hippie community, or it's all just this or that or the other. The reality is everyone coexists, and that's what makes it a great city. So yeah, you can find all the stereotypes, but it definitely is not just one. It's all about whoever you want to be.
It's so awesome.
So you're kind of in the techie industry. So have you seen that show on HBO? What's it called? The
Silicon Valley?
Yeah, yeah. Is it really like that? Is it like that at your office?
Yep. Which is why I don't watch it.
Too close to home.
I live it.
I don't know if you watch Veep, but there was this one episode where she visited one of the places, and the CEO was this 25-year-old kid, and everybody was playing games. And because I worked for a software company for like, I don't know, not even a year, but it was really like that. Mm-hmm. It was really funny. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. That's cool.
But I think, you know, part of it too is it's like that, but it's also like that because what you wind up having is you wind up having people that are really pushing the envelope on innovation. Mm-hmm. And those people come in all shapes and sizes and all sorts of personalities. And that's kind of what makes that's what makes it cool here.
Yeah.
That and the fantastic weather.
So how is it with, like, cost of living stuff? Because, I mean, this is getting off the travel subject, I guess.
Well, not really, because the cost of living affects your travel costs.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah. is it a city that's hard for people to like, live and work there? Or is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting expensive, and it's getting to a point, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's quite difficult, and it's spreading, you know, even to Oakland and some of the areas that used to be a lot more affordable, which is, it's putting a big stress on the community, and it is putting a big stress on the tourism community, because in order to work, you know, you have to, or in order to find employees like waiters, waitresses, different staff for different types of services, you have to go pretty far, because people have to live further out in order to be able to afford a place to live, and especially with kids. So that's one of the biggest stressors on the Bay Area right now. You get the positive and the negative. So the economy is good here. So you get a lot of really interesting restaurants and really interesting places to see opening up, you know, different galleries and things like that. So it, it creates a great environment for looking around. It also creates a great environment for getting around because we have all the latest. We have Uber, we have Lyft, we have Sidecar, we have every, you know, we have groceries on demand. We have everything on demand that you could ever possibly want to have, which makes it really, really convenient even when you're visiting the city to get around without having to rent a car or something like that. But at the same time, that comes at a price where, you know, you do have a high cost of living and food can be expensive and hotels can be expensive. However, you can find some really good deals and things like what I was talking about. If you go into the Mission, those sorts of areas, you can find some great deals and some really fantastic food. And even in North Beach, you know, some of the older Italian restaurants, you can still find great prices. You just need to look a little bit for it.
So you travel extensively. How would you rate it among other top city destination cities? You know, London, New York, Los Angeles, Tokyo, you know, those really big cities where people would go. Is it that expensive?
So if you're looking at London and Tokyo, I think they're more expensive. New York, I think because of just the sheer size of New York and the number of people there, you can find a lot more cheap eats in New York than you can in San Francisco. It's easier because just it's such a bigger population. So I would say San Francisco, from a visitor standpoint, is going to be a little on par with New York, maybe a little bit higher. But you can do a lot of sort of scrappy research and find some great deals as well. It's definitely not going to be as expensive as Tokyo and London would be because those are just much more expensive cities across the board.
So it's sort of a nice big city alternative if you can't quite get, you know, those
Rates. I don't know.
Definitely. And again, you can walk it so easily. I mean, it's 7 miles by 7 miles. So there's a lot of people that like their morning walk is across the entire city. So, you know, it's awesome. Not that hard if you're willing to sort of deal with a couple of hills, although you can navigate a good part of the city without hills. You know, you can walk most everywhere and it's a beautiful city to walk in.
It was actually a little running joke when she first moved there and we would walk somewhere and we come around a corner. She's like, okay, there's going to be like maybe 2 hills. Then you turn around the corner and you're like, oh, I see, it's straight up. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, it's very iconic for that.
Some hills where the sidewalk is actually stairs.
Wow.
So those are hills.
Yeah. And it always makes me nervous because you park sideways on them. So these cars, they look like they're just going to roll right over.
Wow.
I don't know
how. Oh my God, that would drive me
Like the laws of physics just don't work for me. They make me
that
very
would
nervous.
That make me so nervous.
Last time I visited there, and we had a rental car for part of the time, which was a big mistake. It's ridiculously expensive. And I remember just driving some of those hills, and it was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like to drive the hills because, you know, I think back to the Steve McQueen movie Bullet, where he goes basically, you know, up and down these hills at high speed. So I just imagine myself as Steve McQueen going over these hills. It probably isn't the right thing to do. But, you know, it keeps it entertaining.
Have you ever caught air on any of those then?
Once. but I have to say that you really only need to rent a car if you want to go to like Napa, Sonoma, like up to wine country or surrounding areas. If you're going to be staying mainly in the city, you don't need to rent a car. And if you're going to be in the city part of the time and going out part of the time, don't rent the car until you're actually going out of the city.
So how far is it from like the wine country? Is that like an overnight thing or is it something you pop out for the day or is it?
You can do either. I personally recommend going up to wine country for at least a night just because it's so beautiful up there. And also, frankly, if you're going to be doing some wine tasting at the wineries, you'd be better off either walking or taking a limo or something to all the different wineries and not driving for sure.
Right.
So wine country is beautiful, and I definitely, it's a great romantic getaway to take a night or two up there. Mm-hmm. That being said, you could easily go up in the morning and come back in the evening. Wineries tend to stop their tastings around 4:30 p.m., so you're going to have to stop doing wine tasting by then anyway. But there's really great food up there, too. So if you stay the night, it's good to go to one of Thomas Keller's restaurants or one of the other famous chefs that have restaurants up there and really just make a night out of it.
So we just have like a minute or two left, and you've mentioned food several times, and of course we have a tradition here that we have to talk about alcohol at some point as well. I would like to talk a little bit about beer as well, and Andy can't be here tonight, so we have to fill in for him, but San Francisco does have some craft breweries, some famous ones, actually, Anchor and then 21st Amendment stand out. Do you have any other recommendations of places that you visited that, you know, for maybe a pub or a brewery that you can recommend?
Yeah, I think there's two others that are really great. One you and I went to the last time you were out here, which is Black Hammer. And I think that's a new one that's really quite good, and the beers are great.
And they have sizable flights.
They have sizable flights.
I don't know what that means.
Like a pour, usually in a flight you get a 3-ounce pour. This was like an 8-ounce pour, which is half a pretty much. Yeah. So, and I got 8 or 9 of them because I didn't realize they were not 3-ounce pours. So Lynn and I looked at it. Fortunately, Lynn invited a friend because between the three of us, we were able to drink almost all of it. But it was
when phone a friend is handy.
Yes.
It's also handy that San Francisco is small.
Yeah. He was there shortly.
You find people within distance.
He said, "There's beer. I'll be there."
But the other one that's just also you and I have been to before a while ago, but is really a history-making place here in San Francisco, is Magnolia Brew Pub. So Magnolia Brew Pub is in the Haight-Ashbury district. So if you really want, if you're a Grateful Dead fan or you want to kind of see where that movement was born, it's great to go over there anyway. But it's a great brewery and a great restaurant, so you can get really, really good food. Their flights are a lot more reasonably portioned, so you can actually find your way home afterwards.
And they serve it in a little pool cue thing, like a triangle. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have great flights, great food, and the atmosphere is very truly San Francisco. So it's a great place to go.
So then, and we won't talk too much more about food because you can't possibly narrow down restaurant recommendations.
Yeah.
But and one thing that I've always said about California in general, but especially the Bay Area, is the food is just better there. Like, you could order the same thing here that you order there, and it tastes better because it probably only came an hour to get to, you know, it takes farm to table to a whole new level. So,
We're very into local and sustainable and really high quality ingredients. And that really is reflected in all the food that you'll have here. So it's you have to try pretty hard to have a bad meal.
So overall, people should come to San Francisco. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Please come, enjoy it, come visit. It's really, and people here tend to be very friendly, especially with tourists. They'll help you figure out where you need to go. There's lots of ways to get around, and just come enjoy. Just make sure you bring a sweater and some long pants because it's going to be colder than you think it is.
And possibly rainy. Possibly.
Possibly cold. Please.
Well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you again to Linda for joining us tonight and sharing your great city.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you.
And on behalf of Sandy, Robin, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.